The problem with most financial shows when it comes to calling the market is that it's one guy's opinion over and over again.
Sell, sell, sell!
But any veteran investor knows that there are two sides to every trade, a buyer for every seller, and vice versa.
Buy, buy, buy!
That's why Money Life brings you a wide range of experts.
I need people who, you know, can work well under pressure.
Each day you get the benefit of a new set of eyes on the market with different methods and decision-making tools. Every day you'll hear a different expert giving their take on the market, on what looks good, what looks bad, and how they feel about some of your stock selections.
This stock is blowing up right now.
You never know who might show up to talk stocks. It may be a famous money manager or someone you've never heard of before.
No!
But you'll always get their straight talk.
Must you always be so busted, honest?
Their straight talk, that is, about what they see happening on the market and where to think about putting your money on the daily Money Life Market Call.
That's right. This is the Money Life Market Call. You know it. You love it. You wait every day for it. And it's well worth the wait, particularly on a day like today where we have a really great veteran money manager with a distinctive methodology. You know, what we say is that it's as much as you love to hear the buys and the sells, the real thing is to hear the methodology and understand that the important thing is that in this market, you want to have the courage of your convictions. And so we love getting guys who have that courage and who express it well. That applies to my guest today. His name is Tim Vick. He is Senior Portfolio Manager for Naples Trust Company. If you want to learn more about what they do, it's NaplesTrustCompany.com. Tim Vick, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. It's a pleasure to be on.
It has been a while since we've had you on, but even if we had had you on just a short time ago, we always start with methodology, because before my audience can hear you say what you like or dislike, they have to know what goes into developing that courage of your convictions that I was talking about.
Well, we always like to start with quality, and that's everything to us. So we've all been around the block many times. We've studied hundreds and hundreds of companies, and we like to just settle down on just several dozen really high-class, high-quality companies that we want to put in folks' portfolios. And these are industry leaders, companies that are getting better returns in their industry. They're growing faster than the economy, growing faster than their industry. They have stable profit margins. And most importantly, they are great capital allocators. They make good acquisitions. They return money to shareholders when they don't need it. They have safe, unleveraged balance sheets, and they have very good dividend policies. And if they can do all those things and they meet our criteria, we then move to the next step, which is buy them at the right price. So we can patiently wait for these dozens of companies until they're priced to where we can get a decent return for our clients. And then it comes down to just having the time and the patience to withstand a long holding period. Because when we put something in a portfolio, we like to think it's going to be forever, but typically it's going to be several years, and we like to give these companies time to flower and blossom with their profits, and we also like to be able to hold a company long enough so that the undulations of the market kind of offset each other and the stock ends up performing, you know, in line with the company's growth.
Ultimately, what you're saying is, let's go buy quality names, let's hold them forever if we can. What about in building a portfolio? And you're talking about having only a few dozen picks. If you've got five quality names and they all come from one industry, do you say, I only want the best in breed in any given industry? Or are you willing to tilt if you go, this is where the money is, this is where the quality is?
Well, that's often a problem that we face in this business because, you know, in a situation like now, your best values are going to be concentrated in a couple industries like energy. And we can't load a portfolio with totally energy stocks. We try to find best in breed in a number of industries, but we also have to listen to our clients first and foremost. No two clients get the same portfolios. We custom tailor them to whatever their long-term financial needs and goals are, whether they be income or high growth or legacy needs where they want to just gift the assets to their kids and grandkids someday. And we just kind of reverse engineer a portfolio from that. If we determine that the client needs a lot of income in the portfolio, we may concentrate more in a sector like energy where maybe there's high dividends there, or a sector like consumer products companies or banks. If not, and they can be growth oriented, we do like to spread that money around, put it in a number of industries. But I would caveat that by saying that there's not every industry that we like. We don't buy commodity type industries. We don't buy chemicals, mining, trucking, airlines, auto, highly cyclical type industries. We have found over the years that the best types of companies really can be found in just a handful of sectors: business services, healthcare, financial services, technology, consumer discretionary. We can load up very good portfolios by staying concentrated in six or seven industries.
So you've given us an idea of where the industries are. Give us an idea of a name or two that comes through.
In a market like this, where we've seen a correction, you know, underway, we look first and foremost to what has fallen. We don't like to reinvent the wheel or try to find new companies. We like to focus on what's already in portfolios or something we've been watching for a number of years. And if it has fallen quite a bit, you know, we're going to take a look. And I would tell your folks to do the same with their own personal portfolios, because even though the market recently was down, you know, 10% from its peak, a lot of companies were already down 20 and 25 and 30% from the peaks. Apple Computer down 20%, you know, recently from its peak. Exxon 25%, Emerson Electric 30%, BlackRock 20%, Intel was down recently about 25% from its peak. Procter & Gamble down 25% from its peak. This market has been engaged in a rolling correction for nearly a year now, and that has afforded a lot of opportunities for folks to really buy quality. You don't have to scrape the bottom of the barrel and go to emerging markets or micro caps. You can find some high quality large cap names that are priced right now for some really good returns.
One of the names that you threw in there was Exxon. Do you feel that that's an area where there are those quality names and they're coming around now? Or do you feel that that's an area where there are those quality names and they're priced a heck of a lot better than they were X number of years ago, and I believe that long term they're going to be okay, so I'll buy them now and wait for them to pay off?
Well, I think in energy we're going to have bimodal outcomes. That is, we're going to have survivors that are going to survive because they've been through this many times, and this would be the majors, the ExxonMobils, the Conocos, the Chevrons, the Kinder Morgans. And then you're going to have the lesser players, highly leveraged, deeply embedded into the drilling sector of North America, and they're not going to be able to make their principal and interest payments on their debt, you know, if oil stays at these low prices for much longer. And you may see the Exxons of the world swoop in and collect some of these assets on the cheap. But the good thing about these major companies is they can cut back their capital expenditures for a while and preserve cash flow that way. They're going to maintain their dividends throughout because they have a long history of doing that. So their dividend payout ratios tend to be 30 to 35% of their earnings. So there's a huge cushion in case those times come when earnings fall 50 and 70%, as they're doing now. So I'm real comfortable saying that the Exxons and the Chevrons of the world are going to maintain their dividends, and now you can get them at really good yields and just wait and bide your time for, we think, a couple of years before oil prices get back to maybe $70 or $80 a barrel.
You know, the other side of this is you talk about looking at big name stocks. Is there ever a time where you venture into small caps where you look at some idea, you look at some company, and you go, wow, here's the game changer? Or is that the kind of stuff where, for you, that's a classic trap?
No, it's never a trap. If the company meets our criteria of just being, you know, has a good growth story and good management, good capital allocation, they have good competitive advantages, and that's important too with the small caps, we will take the flyers and hold on to them. We own a company right now called Middleby, which makes equipment for restaurants. Doesn't sound like a very sexy business, but Middleby's equipment is finding itself into more and more restaurants throughout North America, particularly in Canada. And it's a company that's kind of off the radar screen, but it's growing at very strong rates right now. We look at another company called Markel, which is a niche insurance company, went public in the 80s, still has a very small market cap. They've never split their stock all up Berkshire Hathaway, and they've gone from $10 to $800 over the last 25 years, run by a very competent family management team. And if we can latch on to companies like that, that maybe one day will be large caps, we'll take them.
You talked about how you try not to sell and how you want your holding period to be forever. What's something that you had to get rid of recently, and what did it do to sort of cross itself off your list?
Well, we had been playing into emerging markets, and we saw that after China devalued, that it was going to cause some bigger disruptions into those markets than we had expected. This was took a lot of folks by storm, but it was going to disrupt currency values. It was going to disrupt the sales of corporations. It was going to disrupt import-export into and out of Asia, and we just didn't have the confidence or the predictability that we require when we're into those types of markets. So we exited there, and actually we're doing it right before we saw a lot of blue chips fall in price, so it became a natural to switch the money into some of these blue chips.
Well, now we're going to see how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in, because it's time for Hold It or Fold It.
Hold
way, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, Tim Vick, Senior Portfolio Manager, I can say the words, folks, for Naples Trust Company. If you want more information, NaplesTrustCompany.com. Now, hold it or fold it, you know how it works. But if you want to participate directly, send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck@MoneyLifeShow.com. We'll add them to our list, and hopefully they will make it into an interview soon. One of the folks who did just that was Kirk in Huntsville, Alabama. Wants to know about Realty Income. It's ticker symbol O.
Well, I would tell Kirk to hold it, certainly, and perhaps looking at buying it. This is a real estate investment trust, very conservatively run. They diversified themselves a couple years ago from owning just convenience stores and retailers and health clubs into owning warehouses and commercial office property. It allowed them to hike their dividend substantially. It's yielding about 5% right now. We think that dividend is rock solid, and we think there's some growth still in that company. So I'd definitely buy it, Kirk.
Well, that's a buy on Realty Income, ticker symbol O, which, by the way, was, I believe, the very first intelligent REIT of the week from Brad Thomas from the Forbes Real Estate Investor, who's a regular guest on our show. Let's stay in the real estate side of things. Josh in Petaluma, California, wants to know about Brookfield Asset Management, ticker symbol BAM.
I would tell Josh to not only buy it, but think about holding it for a long time. Brookfield Asset Management is kind of a next-generation Berkshire Hathaway, a conglomerate holding company with lots of disparate assets, but it generally focuses on hard assets, commercial office property around the world. It owns ports, dams, rail lines, wind farms, toll roads, tends to buy these assets from governments at distressed prices, and then dresses them up to deliver pretty good returns on capital. The price recently had fallen several dollars from its peak, and we think the value is probably about 30% north of where it is right now. So this company is able to grow its cash flows at probably 10 to 12% annual rate. So I would latch onto it, Josh.
And I'm curious, you know, we talked about Realty Income just a moment ago. It's a classic REIT. Brookfield Asset Management might be, for some, would be considered, I guess, an alternative kind of REIT because they're so involved in various properties. If you had to favor one or the other, do you go for the big dividends of a Realty Income, or do you go for the diversification and the non-correlation of all those assets from Brookfield Asset Management?
Well, I think a Realty Income will give you a 5% yield plus a little bit of appreciation above it for a nice solid maybe 7% long-term return. A Brookfield Asset Management is more of a growth story. It pays very little in the way of dividends, just regenerates its profits and grows them at 10 to 15% annual rates, and we think there's a very strong growth story there long-term. You'll get a higher growth rate out of BAM.
There you go. So that was a long-term buy on Brookfield Asset Management, BAM.
I'm in this for the long haul.
Joe in Colorado Springs wants to know about Williams Companies, WMB.
Well, I'm starting to sound like a broken record, so I would tell Joe to buy that one as well. This is one of a number of oil and gas pipeline companies whose stock price, you know, if you pardon the pun, is, you know, sprung a big leak of late because of declining prices of oil and gas. It has natural gas pipelines throughout the United States, southern U.S., East Coast, Pacific Northwest, high returns on equity. They received a takeover offer just a couple of months ago from Energy Transfer Equity. Management instantly rejected it, but it basically put the company in play. So that meant there was going to be a cushion to the share price. In the meantime, oil and gas prices took another leg down. And that's pulled the stock down. The yields was recently like 5.5%. So you're getting a very safe yield, and you've got the upside that maybe this company's in play. So I'd buy it.
Okay, so that was a buy on Williams Companies, WMB.
Come on, let's buy.
Chris in Sedona, Arizona, another Chris in Morrisville, North Carolina, and Ning in New York all wanted to know about Walt Disney Company, DIS.
Well, I think they're all onto something. You have a solid growth play there. There's been some recent worries about their cable TV subscription growth rates, which are slowing for the entire industry. The stock was recently down about 20% from its high, but there's a couple good things going for Disney right now. They've got the Star Wars revenue cycle, which is going to start amping up again with the release of the new movie and the sales of the figurines and the whole branding of the franchise there. And then Disney will be opening a new park in Shanghai, China, next year, and they've been running the costs and the CapEx of that park for the last couple of years through its income statement with no revenues to speak of. So you're going to get a boost in revenues from these two items to offset what I think is going to be the cable TV subscription losses. So, you know, with this price down 20%, I would tell all three of them to buy it.
Sounds like the opportunity of a lifetime.
That's a buy on Walt Disney Company, DIS. And last, for Corey in Westchester, Pennsylvania, it's Honeywell International, HON.
Well, he's going to break the streak here. This is going to be a hold rather than a buy. This is an industrial company. I think it's been knocked for a loop like a lot of other multinational industrial companies. But they are such wonderfully positioned in key businesses such as environmental control for residences and warehouses and commercial buildings, aircraft engines, avionics. Then they have parts and services for the airlines and the military. Well-run company, high operating profit margins. We expect them to deliver probably 9-10% earnings growth the next 5 years, so it's priced pretty attractively. If you have it in the portfolio, I'd still hold it.
Okay, so you're holding it, but you're not buying more at this point. Is it just because you're waiting for a better valuation?
Just waiting for a better valuation. Okay. It hasn't been knocked down as much as some of the other industrials.
Okay, so it's good company, not great stock right now in terms of buying. That's why.
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
Yeah, that was a hold on Honeywell International, H-O-N. And unfortunately, we can't take any more time before we make our move because we've come to the end of our time with Tim Vick, Senior Portfolio Manager for Naples Trust Company. For more information, go to naplestrustcompany.com. Tim, it's always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for making the time for us.
Always a pleasure, Chuck. Thanks.
Well, we have just about come to the end of the September 15th edition of Money Life, but just about means not quite. Let's wrap things up, get you set for the rest of the week and more. Before we're done, stay tuned. We'll be right back.